This has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. Service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Sunday worship service is at 11:30 a.m. Sunday YPWW is on Zoom at 6 p.m. Tuesday night Bible study and Friday joy night are on Zoom at 7 p.m. Morning prayer is Monday through Saturday on the Johnson Temple prayer line at 9:30 a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ of Leesville, Louisiana.
This is KAYT-FM, 881 Gina, Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood, Shreveport, K223BI, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, K255BT, 100.1 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Do 2 Samuel 11, verse 4, at the campus says, peep this. Then David sent messages to her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed her menstrual, so she go back home. Later, she find out she pregnant. She sent a message to a dude named David saying, I'm pregnant. Do me a favor. Thank you, Tupac. Push 10 people and tell them Brenda's got a baby. Go ahead, Brenda's. Brenda's got a baby. You may be seated in the Lord's house. Brenda's Got a Baby is the debut single from Tupac Shakur's debut album, Tupacalypse. Featuring David Hollister, R&B singer, Brenda's Got a Baby is basically about a young girl who had a baby prematurely with no financial means to provide. Like many of Pac's songs, the record is about the impoverished people, those and the plight of the impoverished, those that have no means to take care of themselves. Much of Pac's music was social, political. In the song, Pac criticizes the baby's father, the government, and society in general. Pac wrote the song when he read a newspaper article about a young 12-year-old girl named Brenda, pregnant by her cousin, nervous, and threw the baby in a trash can. Yeah, Pac said, and I quote, Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda's barely got a brain. It's a darn shame. She could hardly spell her name. Brenda barely knew her mom. Her daddy was a junkie putting death in his arms. It's so sad that Brenda doesn't know that just because you're from the ghetto doesn't mean you can't grow. But oh no, that's my fault. That's my revelation. Do whatever you can to resist the temptation. Unquote. Pac was basically talking about a young girl raised without parents who makes the mistake of getting pregnant too early. Might I suggest to everyone in this crowded church and across the world that before there was a Brenda, there was a Bathsheba? That the Bible is full of women who hung out in historic antiquity, who didn't necessarily plan their babies, but stuff just happened. And might I build a bridge of contemporization from antiquity to modernity and suggest I ain't got to go that far, because there's at least 100 real sisters in this room that may be married now with children but have done a couple things that maybe you would do differently. Do me a favor. I know it's early in the message, but every woman lean on another sister and say, I can't tell you everything about me. Go ahead, say it. There's a couple things I'm going to have to keep on the low. I've made a couple of mistakes in my life. Y'all pray for me. I know I say this every year, but every year I mean it. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but pray for me, because what teacher do you know that never ever gets a new textbook? I have to teach every year for nearly 20 years, teaching out of the same book. Whatever else real preaching is, it is finding a way to have an innovative way of telling an immutable truth. It is finding an innovative way to tell an immutable, unchanging truth. In other words, this Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Problem is, pray for me, because it's a bit of a pedagogical conundrum when you've been pastoring nearly 20 years between my first church and this blessed church I have the privilege to be progenitor of. I've been preaching Mother's Day messages for almost 20 years every year, because the second Sunday in May in the USA is always Mother's Day, and if you want somebody to show up, you better have something fresh to say. Can I suggest to all of you that I preached about every biblical baller mama in the Bible? I preached about Holy Hannah and how she prayed for Samuel. I preached about Jochebed, Moses' mama. I preached about the crazy sister from Canaan whose daughter had a devil in her, and she told Jesus, "Treat me like a dog, but help my baby." I preached about Mama Mary, the mother of our Savior. But what preacher would have the unusual audacity, the unmitigated gall, to preach about a bad sister named Bathsheba on Mother's Day? Yours does. Because I want to lift up a sister who's a part of the list. Women, read this. Bad girls of the Bible. It's a book worth reading. Bad girls of the Bible. Because every woman that has made a mistake can at least in part identify with Sister Bathsheba. Let me jump in this right quick. You got your Bible? Look at it with me. Let's make sure we all working together, because 2 Samuel 11, verse 2 and 3, I don't have time to exegete the full passage, so give me some pastoral privilege to make it do what it do right quick. Late one afternoon, your boy David, you know King David, was walking on the roof of the palace. He looked out over the city and noticed a woman of unusual beauty. First of all, he shouldn't have even been there. I'm not preaching about David. I've done that tens of times. I'm preaching about Bathsheba. Let me just use David as a biblical backdrop to set the context. Please check this. King David on the roof should have been at battle with his boys. Be careful, brothers. When you come out of warfare, you'll start tripping. He should have been in war, but because he was home, he looked off his roof. The sister wasn't being fast. I taught you this. She wasn't trying to show a kind of porn nudity show. There was no internal plumbing, so women bathed outside on the roof. Just so happens, because he's at the top. Remember I told you a couple months ago, be careful when God lets you get to the top, because you have access to stuff some people don't. That's for all young brothers who think you want to be in ministry. Sometimes your gift will take you where your character can't keep you. Everybody think they want to be up here. Up here comes with some responsibility. You don't get to flirt with girls that are supposed to be your spiritual daughters. That's called spiritual molestation. Yeah, you don't get to dishonor your wife and act crazy and then be over people preaching every week. I know I make a lot of mistakes, but some mistakes I just can't make. Can I tell you what happened to David? He had some anthropological manly moments. He had some anthropological manly attractions. That's okay. I ain't mad at him. Every straight up heterosexual brother in this room who sees a fine woman has to fight not to have a double take. Cool in the gang. You have anthropological attractions, but be careful. David should have stopped right there. He asks, "Who is that sister?" They say, "That's Uriah's wife." Cool in the gang. It's over. I'm the king. I can have any chick I want. I'm not going to take this brother's wife. Not going to do that. Too much character. But no, what does he do? Thank you, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. If you're watching tonight, he let his loins trap his logic. I said that a couple months ago, but half of you missed it. He let his loins trap his logic. Can I tell you why many brothers got a couple babies, mamas? Because you let your loins trap your logic. Can I tell you why they're beautiful brothers here messed up on porn, adultery, pornea, sexual deviance? Because many of us, if we're not careful, we let our loins trap our logic. When you let your loins trap your logic, you'll end up losing your wife and end up losing the honor of your your children, paying child support to more than one house, all because you let your loins trap your logic. I know there are many brothers who let their loins trap your logic. Don't worry, brother, you're at the right church. I ain't here to beat you up. I'm here to help you get up. Is there anybody like me that has made some mistakes in your life, but God gave you another chance? This brother let his loins trap his logic, calls the girl up to the house, and the scripture says he laid with her. Can I tell you something about Bathsheba? Wait a minute. The Bible says as he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty. Unusual. So she wasn't just fine. She was unusually fine. It's one thing to be fine. The Bible doesn't say she's just beautiful. The Bible says she's unusually beautiful. Hey, woman, do me a favor. Touch your sister next to you and say, you beautiful, but I'm unusually beautiful. Go ahead. Every brother in here know what I'm talking about. There's fine, and then there's, oh, my goodness. Praise God. She is, oh, my goodness, fine. The Bible says she is taking a bath. Guess what I just figured out? That's why her name is called Bathsheba. No, it's not. Y'all believe that? 10 of y'all like, oh, wow, that's revelation, Pastor. That's not revelation. I'm lying. That's not why her name called. I just never saw that in 30 years. She's taking a bath, so bath. Okay. I'll do better next service. Here's all I'm saying. Can I tell y'all something that I never saw in all my years of teaching? She is the daughter of Eliam. Eliam is the dad of one of David's dudes. You know, the dirty 30, the guys that rode with David, could fight, was every place with him. Truth be told, I never knew this. Eliam's son is the cat that David slept with his granddaughter. So he's sleeping with his dude's granddaughter and don't even know it. I know it's early in the message, but put somebody and say, be careful who you sleep with. Go ahead. They may be kin to you. Y'all just missed that. They may be kin to somebody you love. Be careful jumping in and out of stuff. I got to go, but I want y'all to catch this. Okay, so he sleeps with her. He sleeps with her. And verse 5 says, and I'm going fast. Great crowd, by the way. One of the best I ever had on Mother's Day. Thank you for letting me be myself again. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, I'm pregnant. So she sleeps with David. Her menstrual had just ended. She's in that pregnant cycle and don't even know it. Boom, David sleep with her. She's having a baby. Here's the question I want to ask you. Did she want to be there or did David make her be there? Truth be told, text don't tell me. Was she infatuated? Was she a little bit turned on by David? Did she think it was cute? Was she like, wow, he likes me? Or did she hate being there? Can I tell you something critical? Between patriarchy and monarchy, who knows? Patriarchy, it's a male-dominated society, which means women have little to no rights. Monarchy, he's the king, dictatorship with all power. So between patriarchy and monarchy, did she want to be there or did she have to be there? Can I tell y'all the first kind of woman I want to deal with, the first kind of mother I want to deal with, because the Bible says she got pregnant. This is so crazy. We got to start somewhere. So let me give kudos to every mother in here who had to make adjustments. To all you perfect mothers, I'll holler at y'all next year, but to every straight-up mother at every campus that you had to make some adjustments. I'm talking to unwed mothers.